The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
One of my regular guests that you will grow used to and fond of, Peter Baker of the New York Times. You can follow him on Twitter at Peter Baker NYT. Good morning, Peter. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Hugh. How are you?
I'm great, especially since the president has been tweeting. We've got four tweets, Peter. The first one of 34 minutes ago, Puerto Rico got $91 billion for a hurricane, more money than has ever been gotten for a hurricane before, and all their local politicians do is complain and ask for more money. The Pauls are grossly incompetent, spend the money foolishly or corruptly, and only take from the USA. The best thing that ever happened to Puerto Rico is President Donald J. Trump. So many wonderful people, but with such bad island leadership and with so much money wasted. Cannot continue to hurt our farmers and states with these massive payments and so little appreciation. In 1998, then he switches subjects. In 1998, Representative Jerry Nadler strongly opposed the release of the Starr report on Bill Clinton. No information would or could be legally released, but with no collusion caps Mueller report, which the Democrats hate, he wants it all. Nothing will ever satisfy them, in bold quotes, Fox and Friends. And then finally, 6 minutes ago, World Autism Awareness Day 2019. Significance, history, and theme via HT tweets. Peter Baker, your reaction to any or all of these?
Well, look, the one on Jerry Nadler, what he's talking about there is the chairman of the House. And of course, there's a brewing tension over what the Mueller report will be released. The Attorney General Bill Barr, of course, has said he plans to give the report to Congress by mid-April or sooner. But he does plan to redact it for certain categories of information, including secret grand jury information and, anything that would reveal classified methods of getting, information from the Russians and so forth. And so there's a real question about that. The Democrats have set today as a deadline for producing a report, which the Attorney General is likely to meet. And they have said that they would authorize a subpoena tomorrow in case he doesn't fulfill that. So it's a bit of a fight. And the president's weighing in. What surprised me, of course, the president said previously at least three times he was in favor of the full report coming out. Didn't have a problem with it. Now he has, now he's kind of engaging in this fight with the Democrats rather than sticking with his previous position.
I do not believe this is going to transfix the country anymore, Peter. I think that the five stages of grief in the media, not you, but some in the media, of anger, denial, bargaining, depression, and acceptance have been moved through, and that we're on our way to a post-Mueller world. Do you agree with me that Jerry Nadler's got an investment in making this interesting, but generally the news media is just not, they don't like House hearings. They're boring, and they don't really deliver. I remember the House Republicans sanctioning, finding Eric Holder in contempt, and exactly nothing happened.
Yeah. Well, of course, the difference between the Attorney General and the President. But I think you've got a point. What if they make a fight out of it, we don't know what Bill Barr is going to redact yet. But if they make an extended fight out of it, they're simply extending a story rather than, as you say, letting it kind of go. It seems to me one way or the other, the Mueller report, some vast bulk of it anyway, will almost certainly see the light of day. It's hard to imagine that the end result is we don't see at least most of it. And, it'll be a bad day, my guess is, for the president or two, because it will probably have things that go beyond the two sentences that Bill Barr has quoted, even if the bottom line remains that he's not charged with any kind of conspiracy or obstruction. At the same time, Mueller's sentence did make clear he also wasn't exonerating him, or suggest that the report may have some, damning details of what has gone on. But it does, I think you're right, at that point, if there's no further action as a result of it, in other words, if Robert Mueller isn't recommending anything further beyond that, then the story could move on if the president lets it.
Yeah, there is no more special counsel. It's done.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not 100% sure, though, the president wants it to end. I think he kind of likes the fight, and he feels like he's gotten a little wind in his back. He's got a little momentum because he can say he's vindicated. It's a bit of a stretch on everything, but it is a compelling line politically, and it's a way of turning the tables on his opponents, saying you guys are this collusion, delusion, da da da. And I think that that's, you know, I think he actually kind of likes this fight.
It's going to be a line in every rally that he has between now and November 2020 about the witch hunt and being exonerated by the special counsel, regardless of what people say, whether or not he was exonerated. He's going to say it. A very wise old D.C. hand suggested to me 2 days ago, Peter, that we're going to get the report, and in it it's going to say that Mr. Mueller could not conclude on obstruction because the president would not sit down with him. And that makes a lot of sense to me. It's also about the best result President Trump could have.
Yeah, no, I think that's probably right. And I think the other question that I have about how Mueller has evaluated the obstruction question is whether he has chosen not to make a definitive decision one way or the other because of the constitutional questions, right? You're smarter about this than I am. But the question at stake for a lot of people is, can the president be charged with obstruction if he's using his executive powers, even if he's using it for ill reasons, right? He fired the FBI director who was investigating him. He dangled pardons. He fired the attorney general who refused himself and wouldn't protect him from the investigation. He's allowed to do these things under the Constitution, and therefore, can they be obstruction, or is that an intrusion into the executive authority? That's a pretty important question. And maybe Robert Mueller, I don't know this, maybe Robert Mueller said, not for me to decide. This is for higher authorities to decide, you know, this rather weighty question. We don't know, but that may be one thing, I think, in this report.
Interesting. In the first Barr letter, which also cites Rod Rosenstein, they explicitly say we're setting aside those considerations and saying there's no obstruction case even with those considerations set aside. But we'll learn when we learn. I got to go.
Right.
This is Peter. Have you heard any of the show this morning? Are you cold to the show?
I'm cold with the show. Okay. I'm sorry. Just getting on.
I got to play for you my new favorite quote of the 2020 cycle. It comes from Washington Governor Jay Inslee yesterday, cut number 11.
Look, as long as some local official in a sort of non-enlightened area doesn't understand why implicit bias is a bad thing.
All right. Let me ask you, Peter, some local official in a non-enlightened area doesn't understand that implicit bias is a bad thing. Do you think that's deplorables 2.0? I asked Tom Cotton just now if he's from a non-enlightened area and whether Mike Pompeo of Kansas is from a non-enlightened area. You're from New York and D.C. You're not from non-enlightened area. But honestly, doesn't that telegraph exactly what got Secretary Clinton in trouble, which is arrogance?
Yeah. I'm from a very non-enlightened area, very much so. I think, you know, obviously, you're right. I think that one of the problems that the Democrats have had and that Donald Trump, took advantage of rather adeptly in 2016 was the perception that they are increasingly the party of elites. And you're right. I don't know what Governor Inslee was talking about, and I don't want to go too far. Something I'm not very knowledgeable about, but you're right. The phrase non-enlightened area certainly does not imply man of the people, and that's the kind of,
larger
problem.
What's even better, he says, when some local official in a non-enlightened area, I immediately think of Mayor Pete, one of my favorites, and David Brooks wrote a column in the Times today about Mayor Pete, which I think gets him exactly right, why he's appealing. But he is definitely a local official from a non-enlightened area. I've been to South Bend. They don't even know anything about football there.
Oh my goodness! You got to be careful, man. You're gonna end your own political.
Yeah, Costa's gonna cut me off. Yeah. Hey, very quickly, serious subject. Chuck Grassley yesterday introduced an overhaul of retirement, and they're doing it in ways and means as well. This bill will affect every American, young and old, but especially seniors, by raising the number of years you can contribute and obliging you to take IRAs you inherit and get them out in 10 years. It's a big deal. I want them to include the ability of seniors to use retirement funds to pay off mortgage debt, which has always seemed to me to make sense. It's an asset chain. No one covered it today except the Wall Street Journal. What's wrong with our news, Peter, that a bill that will impact every American is so obscure?
Well, you're right. I mean, it's obviously an important subject area, and it's kind of the English Washington world focusing its energies on, and including the news media. I think the problem in Washington these days is that we don't tend to get excited too much about any individual bill until we see that it has any chance of going somewhere, because the system is so broke, because the city is so divided, that serious substantive legislation at the moment seems to be kind of frozen. And so, I don't know whether this bill can break through that bottleneck. But I think that right now we are at a position where serious legislators like Senator Grassley and many on the Democratic side as well are frustrated about that.
Ann Turgeson's piece in the Wall Street Journal suggests that, yes, indeed, this bill is going to move. I hope you turn your attention to it, Peter, because along with Ann, you're one of the serious reporters in D.C., and I appreciate always when you write about the complicated stuff. Follow him, Peter Baker, NYT, on Twitter.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.